Oh, I don't know. I guess not.
Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you didn't manage to find your way over there yesterday, swing on by and check out that blog that went up. Of course, while you're over there, hit the link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Man with 3 E's.
All right, Dan, I wanted to start you off with this one. You know, I believe it was last night, Albert Pujols became only the third guy in Major League Baseball history to notch 2,000 career RBI. All right, he hit a home run into left field at Tiger Stadium. The ball was caught by, I believe this gentleman's name is Eli Hides, and it was actually this afternoon, sorry. This guy has already said that he's not going to give Pujols the ball. If you landed a majestic, you know, record-breaking, whatever happens, home run from a guy, you keeping it or you giving it back? And it does say, but hang on, before you answer, it does say that it says, but despite generous offers from the Tigers and the Angels, he decided to keep it, though Major League Baseball would not authenticate it once he left the park with it.
I mean, if we all know that that's the ball. But then again, I mean, he can go and switch it out. I don't know. I mean, the fact that it's not authenticated when you leave the building, you know, I mean, doesn't that lose its value?
Yes. You know, because just said now, it could be any ball.
Yeah. Because, you know, that was one of the things I noticed in Tampa. I've never seen this happen in, in Wrigley. You know what it is. I believe it was a former Mariner who hit a home run. It was like his first hit with the Rays. And there was an older woman walking around, and she, you know, she looked at us because we were sitting at the top, and she's like, where did that ball, you know, where did it go? I was like, oh, it's those little kids down there. So she went down there, and, you know, they authenticated it right on the spot. So I thought that was pretty cool. You know, the kid got to keep the ball. It wasn't like a 2,000th RBI kind of ball, but I don't know. I mean, maybe, yeah, you hold out and you get a couple good offers from both teams before you leave. But, you know, I mean, I would definitely only want to give it to Pujols. Oh.
For the right price, I'm giving up, but like, you know, for me, it would be pretty, you know, pretty cut and dry. I think I would just want, you know, I would want to be able to come to a game whenever I wanted to come to a game. You know, obviously for your child.
Oh, that's
you know,
a good
be
one.
It, be it if I want to show up every day or if I just want to show up, you know, once a week, once a month, whenever. You know, I think that's what I would be looking for. And obviously I would like, you know, to sit, you know, where you sat in the scout box or whatever, you know, those things are. You know, sit in,
no,
you know, someplace really nice like that.
It was a scout seat.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's, I mean, that's, you know, that's what I would be looking for. So, you know, I mean, it would, you know, be kind of pretty cut and dry. You know, that would just kind of be it. And then here you go, here's your ball. You know, do whatever you want with it. You know, and even to be fair, like, you know, in the article it mentioned that this is the first ball this guy has ever gotten. Well, I've never got one either. So.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I've got one that Andrew McCutchen hit, but it was during batting practice. So, you know, the only authentication I've got is my Instagram post of a ball and a bag of ice that the Chicago Cubs provided me with. you know, I mean, and, you know, last year, sat through a doubleheader for the Oakland A's versus the White Sox, and sitting next to the A's dugout, the closing pitcher, you know, he wasn't, you know, he was just the closing pitcher because they dominate the White Sox. He actually tossed me the game ball. You know, that was pretty cool, but, you know, that I guess you could say was technically my first ball given, you know, as a result of something, but, you know, I don't know. You know, it holds more value to me than it would to anybody else. So even if I were to land the Albert Pujols ball and they authenticated it, I mean, you know, as much as I would want to sell it, I wouldn't. You know, it would get sold after I died.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, that's just kind of the interesting thing for me is what is this guy going to do now? You know, you got the baseball, but, you know, in a little while, none of your friends are going to believe that it's actually one Albert Pujols hit for, you know, his 2,000th RBI. So. You know, you might as well have, you know, done something. Hell, I mean, you had a chance to meet Albert Pujols, who's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's my next question, Big Jack, for you. After you negotiated your free seats, would you try to negotiate, you know, introducing him at the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't think I would go that far. You know, I would be, you know, that guy. But yeah, I just, you know, like I said, I just want to, you know, just like I said, I just want to be able to go to a game whenever I want to go to a game.
You know, and to me, I mean, because if you think about it, you know, Major League Baseball is going to authenticate it. Whether they decide to put it in the Hall of Fame or, you know, whatever they do with it, if they sell it, you know, there's going to be some million-dollar collector who's going to spend a boatload of money on it. So I think it's only fair that you get some kind of compensation, because if you were to get it authenticated, you know, would you really get as much as, say, Major League Baseball might negotiate the ball for?
Yeah, you know, it just makes so little sense, you know, and I mean, I don't know this guy's reasoning. You know, I mean, there was the, remember there was the Yankee fan who was a ball collector that was it A-Rod or Jeter or something? He caught one of their historic things that he refused to give it back, but you know, I mean, in all honesty, he was just being a jag bag. You know,
yeah.
This guy just kind of, like, he's a little clueless. And, you know, he's just more excited to catch the ball. And it doesn't, you know, just kind of glancing over the interview, doesn't seem to realize what he has.
Yeah, I mean, don't you get to a point when, you hit a certain age where, you know, it's cool. It's cool that you got it, but, you know, if the Oakland A's, I forgot who the pitcher was, if he never gave me that ball, I wouldn't go home crying.
No, and, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, I'm sure Pujols would have liked to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously it would have been a nice, you know, a nice little, you know, addition to his whatever, you know, he probably got. But, you know, he's got MVP awards to look at, and I believe World Series rings to look at. You know, if he doesn't get this ball, I think he's going to be okay.
You know, for you, the way you look at it, is it more of more about the game so much more than it is about Pujols and the fact that this guy's kind of denying the preservation of the game?
Yeah, you know, I actually think that is a big problem with it for me is, you know, just the point of, you know, with, you know, again, with no authentication, you know, nobody's ever going to believe this guy again that this is that baseball. You know, I mean, even if he went home and say he put it on eBay as soon as he got home, I wouldn't believe him because you can get a baseball how many different places? You know, I mean, how do we know one of his buddies didn't have a batting practice ball and they swapped it out?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's no way, you know, he kind of, you know, wasted an effort here. I mean, you know, he deserves something for making the catch. I mean, you know, he's part of history.
Yeah.
So, you know, go ahead and, you know, I mean, you know, he just wanted an autograph or a jersey or, you know, if he's a Tiger fan, maybe, you know, he wanted something from the Tigers. I mean, you know, it's okay to, you know, it's okay to ask for a lot and work your way down. I mean, that's called negotiating. But, you know, yeah, I think he kind of missed the boat here, you know, with everything.
Did they mention how old he is?
No, I didn't see it. His picture looked like he was a 20-something, I would say. I did post the article on sportstimeradio.com if anybody, you know, is interested in taking a run over there and looking at it. But, yeah, I would guess he's in his 20s. I would be shocked if he made it to 30. He doesn't look that old. But he's not a kid. I mean, he's an adult. I could see a kid wanting to keep it. You know, if a little kid got a hold of it, he'd be like, no, I would get that in a heartbeat. But, you know, this guy's a grown man who, you know, just obviously was clueless on what was going on.
Yeah, well, in the age of millennials, is he really a grown man?
Well, he should be a grown man. There are always those questions, you know, you do never know. So, but, you know, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe they can still work something out. But, you know, like I said, I mean, even if I was, you know, the Angels or the Tigers, if, you know, he came to me and wanted to do something, I'd be like, well, wait, how do I know this is actually the ball?
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things I forgot to mention about my outing last Saturday at the White Sox game, Big Jack, is something you probably did not see on TV, and that was a fan jumped onto the field from center field.
Yeah, no, they don't show that anymore, so.
No. And this guy was semi-smart, he had a plan, so he ran straight towards second base, but when he saw the security coming at him and they dove, he waited till that second to drop to the ground. So they kind of crashed into each other, but he didn't jump and drop fast enough. So it was pretty comical. It has nothing to do at all with what you were talking about, but it just made me think of that because, you know, it was kind of baseball and the fans.
So, yeah, you know, I got to tell you, you know, if I was one of those security guys, the minute I got that guy off the field where there was nobody looking at us, I would beat the living crap out of him. So.
Yeah, you say grown man, but he's just in the beard. He looks like a kid to me. This Eli. Hi.
Yeah, you know, I don't get the, you know, as a little kid, I thought it would have been cool to run onto the field. You know, back then, I thought that would have been fantastic to jump and, you know, run onto the field. And, you know, then as an adult, you kind of realize the consequences, and it's like, yeah, it's just not worth it. So.
Yeah, but, you know, when it, at the end of the day, when it comes to Albert Pujols baseball, you know, he's a bigger man about it. He said he's not going to fight for it. Kid wants it, let him keep it. You know, he
yeah.
knows that piece of history. But, you know, like you said, when I look at the picture of a tweet by a man named Kent French, I don't know who he is, but he tweeted a picture with a kid. I mean, you can't even see the scuff mark on the ball. Granted, it's part of the way he's holding it. But the fact that they pretty much use a new baseball on every batter, if not, you know, every other pitch, you know, it just makes it all the more harder to actually prove, like you said, that this is the ball.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, if I went on and it was on eBay right now, I wouldn't believe it was the ball. You know, I don't care if he just brought it home or he just did whatever with it. I'm not buying the fact that this is actually the ball. This is actually what he got for me. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think he's lying. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the funny things that I was told about, the advice I was given when sitting in the bleachers at Wrigley back in the day when they had a manager who cared about batting practice. You know, you got there early, you sat through batting practice, and you made sure you got a ball. And that way, when the home run is hit, especially by the opposite team, you pull that ball out of your pocket and throw that ball on the field.
Right. So, and they still do that in the bleachers at Wrigley. Anytime you hit a home run, the ball being thrown back isn't the ball that's the home run.
Well, I mean, you don't always know that. Not everyone hits.
Oh, no, you know that. So.
No, I mean, not everyone brings an extra ball with them anymore. And like
well,
I said,
no, but I mean, I think guys hand guys balls and stuff. They turn around. It would be a rarity that somebody actually threw the home run ball back on the field. I mean, you know, it's probably like, you know, 1 in 100 or something like that.
Yeah, but they weren't throwing that Chris Bryant home run back today, that's for sure.
No, you know, the Cubs, yeah, they don't throw, that's how that kind of goes, you know, but it's kind of the easiest one. I mean, I kind of honestly think this guy was an idiot. So.
Yeah, and, you know, and you're not the only one. As I was looking up the article, Kent French's tweet, a lot of people were displeased. I wouldn't, you know, they weren't going nuts like some of the people act on social media, but they were definitely displeased with the fact that the guy wouldn't give up the ball. And we're even quite dumbfounded by the fact that he did not even, you know, obviously you mentioned why he can't get it certified, but didn't even take an opportunity to try to negotiate meeting pools. So,
yeah.
I can't disagree with you on saying what an idiot.
So, yeah, I just, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, hey, great. You know, it would be wonderful to have a – you know, to have a baseball, you know, to be like, oh, yeah, hey, I caught a ball. You know, that's fantastic. But, you know, yeah, you know, if you're lucky enough to get something like this, you know, give it up. So, you know, and I did realize that looking it up here that the research I heard earlier was wrong. There are actually, unless they change this, Pujols is actually the fifth guy with 2,000 plus RBIs. Obviously, Hank Aaron is on top. And then Babe Ruth, who I heard earlier, said they have that many RBIs. A-Rod and then Cap Anson. Of course, Cap Anson played, you know, way back when the game was first getting started. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, I heard one of three early, but, you know, I guess, I don't know.
Well, technically, Cap and Babe don't count as the official rule. You know, they didn't officially start counting RBIs until 1920.
Oh, okay. So
that's where,
you know,
that kind of comes in.
Well, you know, and I mean, in reality, how important is this going to be as, you know, sabermetrics has just kind of ruled that RBIs are lucky? You know, I mean, like, I think this is a big deal, but, you know, I mean, if it's RBIs are just total luck, Albert Pujols got lucky 2,000 times? So, yeah. And, you know, then I'm guessing with the length of his contract, you know, he's only 300 RBIs, about, you know, a little less than 300 RBIs behind Aaron. Does he go past him?
I think so.
You know, and you know, here's even funny. As lucky as RBIs are, Dan, there's actually only one other active player in the top 50 who runs driven in. You got any ideas who that is?
Active.
I'm Aaron Donald. I'll tell you, I have a T-shirt of this guy that you bought.
Oh, Miggy.
Miggy, yeah, Miggy sits at 32 on the list. He's got obviously it hasn't been updated for today. I don't know if he drove any in today. He had 1,649 RBIs. He's the next active guy. And then cruising down the list here, there's not even another active guy. Don't get another active guy. Wow, here you go. 135 is where Robinson Cano comes in. So those are the top three active RBI leaders, and it's in the top 35. But it's a lucky stat, Dan. So I guess there aren't a lot of lucky players out there. Morons, God, I hate these sabermetric guys sometimes. So yeah, I don't know. We've been over this a bazillion times. It just drives me freaking cute, but you know, just kind of how they go. So, but hey, yeah, I was glad to see him get it. And considering, I think last year they were saying he was the worst player in baseball, which I still find humorous because Joey Gallo hit his 100th home run last night, and he has like 93 singles, so he's got more home runs than he does singles. But yet he's a great player because sabermetrically said he's a great player. So. All right, well, just kind of catching up on things. Obviously, being Thursday, we had some early games. The Angels did beat the Tigers 13-0, so obviously Biggie didn't get any RBIs. The Indians beat the White Sox 5-0. That game only lasted 5 innings. The Cubs got a win here 4-1 over the Marlins, and the Reds shut out the 8-0. You're looking at Felix Pena, Carlos Carrasco, Mike Montgomery, and Tanner Roark as your winners. The only save of the day so far goes to Raquel Iglesias. And then live here we have the Mariners and the Yankees are 0-0 in the bottom of the first, and the Rockies are leading the Giants 12-9, heading into the top of the ninth inning. Bad news I saw for the Giants there, Dan. Your guy Buster goes on the IL with concussion issues. How concerned are you, and do you have him with every team this year?
Well, I have two teams in the same league, so almost every.
Well, then he can't be on both of them. You have two teams in different leagues as well, so is he on both of those teams?
Yeah, he's on both teams.
Did you go in and make your adjustments?
I'm doing so as we speak, since you mentioned it.
Because I actually do have him in the ESPN league I am in. So.
Oh, they're going to play that one.
Oh, well, the draft worked for me. I didn't have any problems using that one. So, that may be my football. If I continue to have problems with Yahoo, I may be playing ESPN football this year. So I'm not dealing with, you and their BS. It either works or it doesn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, sadly for you, but the team you didn't draft is in fourth place.
Oh, that's a good place for them. So,
yeah.
Maybe that's why they're in fourth place, because I'm not there. So, I don't know. I obviously, being that they're on the West Coast there, I didn't see the injury, so I don't really know what happened to him. I just saw it. I was like, ah, damn. So, but I don't think it's obviously it's a big loss for the Giants, but it's not going to have a huge effect on the season because. Like we talked about the other day, let's face it, I don't think they're really going anywhere. So,
well, does that mean that that catcher prospect might come up? Because they've got Buster on the concussion protocol in 7 days.
Yeah, no, I think that catcher is Joey Burke is his name, and I believe he is injured as well. Let me bring his name here real quick and see if something comes up for me. But yeah, I for some reason I was under the impression that he was injured as well. Oh, maybe not. So. Anything here? No, okay. Well, he is just at high class A, so that would be a pretty big jump. I think the guys haven't done it before, but it would, it would still be a pretty big event. Yeah, it looks like he hasn't played since April 15th. So while there's nothing listed as an injury, I'm guessing he's hurt. Yeah, I can't find anything on like what kind of injury it is or anything, but I'm guessing since he hasn't played in a month, that there's some kind of injury. But yeah, so I'm gonna say no that he won't be called up then. That's your answer there. Who is the other Giants for this year? I know they brought in a veteran guy, but off the top of your head.
It wasn't Austin Barnes, was it?
No, he's the Dodgers starter.
Ah, I forgot who it was.
Because I think, yeah, because Nick Hundley is an A now.
Yeah.
You know, he was there last year. And I thought they had brought in a veteran guy. And I'm just not sure. Oh, yeah, they called up Stephen Vogt. That's right. I just saw that the other day. So, you know, I guess he'll do the majority of the catching along with, you know, whoever else they're going to bring up until Posey comes back. But I did see they also put Drew Pomerantz on the IL. I don't know what kind of issue he was having. You know.
It looks like Posey's caught a foul ball off his mask on Sunday night's game.
Oh. Well, that's not good. Those things hurt. So, I'm guessing. Obviously, I'm sure they called somebody up to fill in there as the backup or whoever they brought. Where I'm trying to see if I can run into it here if there's a transaction for them. See if there's somebody here. Yeah, it looks like Erasmus Garcia was the catcher they called up. So it's him and Vogt will be catching Buster is recovering. It may take a little more than 7 days. So, like Dan and you have in the league, you'll have to make sure you keep up with that.
Yeah, but I mean, they put him on a 7 day, and it's from Wednesday, and typically it's 7 days for the concussion protocol. So you never know; he might be ready by Sunday. But I think it was definitely playing it safe. I would say this early in the season, but like we discussed, I don't think it makes a huge difference for the Giants if he takes off a little bit more time because. But the way the Dodgers and the rest of the league has been playing, I don't know if the Giants are going to be able to pull themselves out of the basement.
Yeah, no, I mean, sadly, it looks like, they're headed for another loss here today. Unless they can rally in the ninth and then hang. It looks like they're down to their last out as well. So that game probably the final here. Rather quickly. Obviously with a guy like Buster, you there's always the concern about lingering. So you just got to kind of, you want to make sure with this. Obviously, this is your franchise guy, and you want to be able to build around him or have him around. So, that's just kind of how you got to handle it. Oh, so. Yes, the weather is just beating up my arthritis. So I'm like, deal with it. It's getting ridiculous for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't understand. Now that we're on the weather, I don't understand Big Jack. When I got off the train this morning and walked to work, actually, when I got in the car this morning to drive to the train to go to work, it was so hot. I'm just glad I brought my hoodie with anyways. Because when I walked out of the office, I was prepared for what weather we had this morning, and come to find out it's a lot colder than it was this morning.
Yeah, sadly it's been a bit of an odd weather week here. So, eventually it'll be too hot and everybody will complain about that. So
yeah,
but you'll have to help with this one, Dan. I just came across this and. I know you and your wife have, I believe, is it her? Is she the one who has the relatives that are in Nashville that you visit?
Yes.
Okay, now the next time you go, and I'm not sure how far away Knoxville is from Nashville, but you may have to make a special trip. You may have to make a special trip because Peyton Manning is opening a Western-themed restaurant in Knoxville that you guys may have to go and check out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's nowhere near Nashville. It's like 3-4 hours away.
Well, that's not bad. You could take a little ride. Maybe you could go to Dollywood or something, you know, kind of check that out. But, yeah, you might want to, you know, go check out Peyton's new place.
Well, you know, and to be honest, that might be a thing because my wife's niece named her daughter Peyton.
See?
And, of course, her dad always says it's after Walter. And she reminds him that it's Peyton Manning. I did have the luxury, or whatever the hell you want to call it, of seeing UTK down in Knoxville one year, and we took a stroll down Peyton Manning Drive, which probably, you know, it's the shortest street because it's, you know, going from the stadium to the campus or whatever. But, yeah, I've walked down Peyton Manning Drive.
Ah, there you go. I have never walked down Peyton Manning Drive. I don't believe I've walked down a drive named after any actual athlete. So that's kind of me. But you know, I know that you know I haven't been to Tennessee in a very long time, and I know you go on a. You were actually just there. You kind of go on a regular basis. So I thought, you know, this was right up your alley, and you could go check out Peyton's restaurant, and maybe you could, you know, you could write a blog about it for SportsTimeRadio.com. Kind of give it a review.
Well, when that happens, if that happens, and to correct you, Big Jack, regularly would mean that I go there often, and this is the first time I've gone in probably 5-7 years.
All right, well, that's regularly for me, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, my wife has gone pretty much every year, which,
okay, well,
you know, she always
go to the restaurant.
Yeah. Well, you know, she always gets the, where's Dan the Man? And I get home, or she gets home and she tells me, like, her brother-in-law says that. And I always say, well, how come he never comes up here?
So, yeah. I mean, I guess comes up, I think you should have to hear. Is that how that works out? You know?
Yeah. But, you know, speaking of Peyton Manning and walking on Peyton Manning Drive and being a fan, the fans of the Los Angeles Lakers are not happy, as I forgot how many consecutive years now it is that the Lakers did not make it to the postseason, but apparently they are staging a protest in front of the Staples Center. Now, when I first saw that there was a protest, I thought maybe everyone was mad at the Clippers, or because I don't know if they were still in it. Because I don't know anything about the NBA playoffs anymore, except that LeBron's not in it for the first time in probably 10 years. So, you know, the big question people are wondering is Jack Nicholson going to be there? I just assume he sold his tickets. I wonder if Snoop Dogg will be there. But, I mean, they're upset with the front office. I'm assuming they're calling for a complete overhaul. What are your kind of thoughts on this? Do you think that this is going to do anything, solve anything? I hope, I guess, right?
I'm going to say no. I know there's a little bit of uproar because they couldn't, you know, they ended up, you know, they're having trouble finding a coach because it's difficult to find anybody that wants to coach LeBron James because in reality, I mean, we all know he is uncoachable. That's just bottom line. And it's been 7 years since the Lakers have made the playoffs, by the way. But it looked like, it looked like they were going to come to an agreement with Tyronn Lue, LeBron's former coach from the Cavaliers. And the Lakers ended up kind of undermining him You know, the regular deal for NBA coaches, everybody gets 5 years. Well, they offered Lou 3. So, you know, when he wanted 5, they wouldn't give it to him. There were a couple other problems that went on, and negotiations broke down, and he walked away. So now he's not going to be the Lakers coach. You know, the other coach they were considering was Monty Williams, and he's already taken the Phoenix Suns job. So it appears now that they're going to interview Frank Vogel, who's the former coach of the Bucks and the Pacers. It's kind of a mess, and I know there's a lot of people arguing that the buses need to sell the team. So there's a lot of that kind of crap going on. The sad part is like all these people are going to protest, and then when the season opens, they're all going to be there with their tickets in the Staples Center rooting for the team. So.
Well, and that's where I was going to go with it. That's what I was going to say was, is this going to make a huge difference? Because from what I understand, Laker fans are pretty damn loyal. They're still going to be there. So,
yeah.
The Cubs definitely saw that drop off when they did their rebuild. It helped me out because I was able to go to games at a reasonable price. But I've been protesting them, and unfortunately they won't do anything about that. But I don't know. I just thought that was very interesting. And, maybe the buses need to sell a team, but don't you think with bringing in Magic and what they did last year was trying to do the best for the team? And I'm on break.
Yeah, you get LeBron James, who's the best player in basketball, and it looked like, let's face it, it looked like they were going to return to the playoffs. But, more and more you realize that, James is a difficult personality to interact with. He only really likes to be surrounded by veteran players, and that's not what the Lakers had. They attempted to accommodate him a little bit by bringing in, Rajon Rondo and Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee. And then they grabbed Tyson Chandler when he became available. So, it just wasn't a group that was solidly put together or well put together. And it's just kind of like, here you go. What do they do? And then, obviously James got hurt. And, that didn't help. And depending on, who you listen to, he ended up being hurt the rest of the season. I'm not sure if I quite buy that. I think they kind of used that as an excuse for a bad team. But, it was definitely what you could describe as, a rough year. They had the James injury. And then you look, and Lonzo Ball missed a boatload of games. Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma got hurt. And, that's the foundation of your young core, those three. And then, of course, the big issue becomes, LeBron wanted Anthony Davis, and they hurt quite a bit of feelings, which is actually something you apparently have to be careful of now in sports today. When, they started bringing up all these names that the young guys were all going to be traded for them. So, it was a rough spot or a bad spot. And, the issue the Lakers are going to have right now is no matter what it seemed like or any, what it looked like, LeBron respected Magic Johnson because Magic Johnson is one of the all-time great players in the NBA. Who are you going to get now that he's going to respect? Obviously, he didn't respect Luke Walton. I don't think you could find a coach that he's going to respect. Plus, now you need that team figurehead You know, maybe if they could bring a Jerry West back, but I don't know if West is looking for a full-time gig like that. You know, maybe, you know, if they could use his name and get people to do the job under him, they could kind of work something out like that. But, you know, it's always difficult to work with those guys because, you know, obviously LeBron is above everybody else. While I'm not quite sure if he's still the best player in the game, you know, he's going to be in the top five or the top three. You know, he's going to be right there depending on how you put your rankings together. And, you know, there's an ego that goes with this. No matter what they say or how they act, you're going to get an ego with it. You know, what's interesting is there do seem like there are some guys who are going to be willing to come play with him. It looks like Kyrie Irving is willing to come back and play with him. You know, he's a free agent. You know, I'm sure they're going to do whatever they can to acquire Anthony Davis this off season. So, you know, they're going to have that going on. You know, the questions of course will be is, you know, what are they going to have to give up to get Davis? You know, because don't forget, I think the 76ers gave up three or four, might have been first-round draft picks to get Tobias Harris. You know, and while Tobias Harris is a good player, Anthony Davis is a great player. So what does that lead you to? You know, not only are you going to have to give up your young players, you're going to have to give up draft picks. So, you know, that could be an issue. But again, if you're a good team, it's really not that big of an issue because of where you're picking. You know, if you're a playoff team, you know, you'll be picking, you know, down in the, you know, the 20s, stuff like that. You know, that's not such a huge deal. It's going to be finding a guy that LeBron can look at and respect, and I just don't know where they could get a guy to come in like that. So it's interesting because obviously he's not going to respect any of the buses. You know, that ship has sailed. So who's the guy? I mean, I don't even think you could bring Kobe. I don't think LeBron really respects Kobe that much. So
Tibbs isn't interviewing for this job?
Oh, no, God, no. LeBron would – there's no way that would work. So imagine Thibodeau asking LeBron James to play defense. Oh, my God. He would be one of those coaches who was fired after six games. So
six? You think he'd last six? Now,
yeah,
you know –
with to be the – you know.
Yeah, no, I know. Do you think – I mean, let's – with the amount of money that LeBron makes, he's and then his lifetime shoe deals or whatever the hell he's got going on. I've never seen a commercial with him in it, so I don't know how that works. Except for the NBA ESPN commercials. Do you think a part of the reason he wanted to go Hollywood and start the production companies was so that he could try to amass a couple of $1 billion and maybe be Jordan-esque to where he can actually buy his own team? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
What did the Clippers go for? Like $2 billion. So,
billion, yeah.
You know, if he wants to go in on his own, you know, he's going to need to amass a whole lot of money. And so I kind of picture, you know, he gets out of the league. I don't know if he leaves permanently or, you know, takes 5 years and then tries to work his deals and buy a team. And what team would you buy?
Yeah, I honestly wouldn't be surprised to see him as an owner down the road. You know, I think, you know, and I know he's talked about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, you know, how much, you know, how serious it is or anything like that. But yeah, that, you know, that wouldn't surprise me at all, you know, if he ends up being an owner. But, you know, to be honest, you know, Jordan hasn't had much success as an owner.
No, and that's where I was going next. You know, was the fact that because we don't really see that too often in sports. You know, definitely not in football. But that's what I was going to ask you. You know, the NBA is such a players' league to begin with. Do you think it would help having a couple more owners that are players?
Yeah, I definitely think.
Or were players.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to have that. I mean, you know, if it's, you know, a player with a general interest, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Jordan really wanted to be an owner. You know, I mean, you just like, I don't think a guy like Kobe Bryant has any interest in owning a team.
Yeah. No.
So it's kind of, you know, finding the right guys and making sure that, you know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, this works and these guys want to do this, you know, type of thing. You know, you're not just running them out there as figurehead.
Yeah, because you know, look at it here in Chicago. You know, Paxton's definitely got that loyalty ship coming, you know, for him with Jerry Reinsdorf and company. But, I mean, let's be honest. Is it really working out?
Yeah, you know, you could ask that question a lot when it comes to Jerry Reinsdorf, couldn't you? You know, I mean, he.
Yeah. Well, you know, even taking him out of
the life, so.
Well, and even taking them out of the equation, the Kings with Vlade. I forget what his position is there, but, I mean, aside from some of the jerseys they come out with, is there anything you really want to talk about the Kings for?
Well, actually, Vlade is no more. They canned him after the season ended.
Oh. So there you go. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, guys like Magic really are good for the game because he's doing what he wants to do, and that's being an ambassador for the sport. He obviously went in thinking he could do a lot more than he could. And, you know, I think the part for Magic, though, is he cannot be a guy that people don't like. You know, where Jeter's gone down to Miami, and Jeter and company, not just Jeter himself, but he's got the name that's, you know, kind of the face of it. He's gone down there, and, I mean, for lack of a better word, he can give a damn what anyone thinks of him. But I feel like with Magic, you know, he just wants to be the people pleaser, and, you know, maybe it wasn't that great of a role for him being in the front office for the Lakers and making those decisions, because you have to be able to make decisions that people aren't going to like. So, you know, I still think you cannot have, as long as Magic is healthy and around, and I'm not making any digs on, you know, his health status. It's just in general, as long as he's healthy, he looks great. I don't see that there's not a place for Magic Johnson to show up to any basketball stadium and just be the ambassador as he likes to be. But do you feel like that's a better role for former players?
Not all. I figure it's a better role for Magic, you know, and that was part of his problem. And, you know, the Lakers front office is, he kept getting them fined, you know, because he would send out a tweet about players from different teams. And
yeah,
you can't do that when you're president of the organization. You know, obviously, when you're just an ambassador for the NBA, you can tweet about whatever you want. You know, and that's kind of where Magic belongs. I mean, don't be surprised if next playoffs he's in the Mickey Mouse studio doing analysis. You know, or he jumps on with, you know, the TNT guys and, you know, has some fun with Chuck and Shaq. I won't be surprised at all if we see him in, you know, in any of these kind of things, because that's where he fits. So. It was nice that he took the office thing, and my guess is it just wasn't what he thought it was going to be. So. So.
Yeah. But, you know, in the end, it does kind of suck, though. You know, I was hoping for the Lakers, and not just because of LeBron, but I think with, you know, having Magic kind of involved in the team that, you know, he side with other guys really made popular.
Yeah, well, you know, they always say the NBA is better when the Lakers and the Celtics are relevant. So, you know, that's just kind of, you know, one of the things that, you know, I mean, they've said that for years. So, I don't know. You know, now that the game is a little more global, you know, and it's opened up to more fans, I don't know how true that is anymore. But, you know, the Celtics are relevant now. It's just can the Lakers get back? And I honestly don't know, you know, with the position they're in, it, you know, maybe they're a bottom tier playoff team if they can add some guys, you know, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe more guys will come and play, you know, with LeBron, you know, and they'll end up with a, you know, kind of a stacked superstar type of team. But I honestly don't know. But yeah, you know, I think, you know, it's better for Magic.
Yeah, in the end, though, it'll be interesting to see if or what or if anything even comes out of the fan protest, and if people even show up, you know.
Yeah, you know. Well, you know, it's LA. Will they show up late and then leave early?
Well, you know, because I don't mean to make the digs on the Kaepernick stuff, but you remember Spike Lee tried to organize a huge rally or protest, whatever the hell you want to call it, in front of the NFL office or whatever. And then we just never really heard about it.
No. Because
no one really showed up.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. There was somebody else years ago pushing a protest. And I remember getting news coverage for it, and there were like five people there. And I'm like, is this really a protest?
Yeah.
So.
I don't know, because I think when it comes to sports, you know, I mean, your biggest protest is to just not go. You know, I saw protests all last summer because, you know, the hotel industry was not providing, you know, benefits, insurance benefits for their employees when they were laid off of work due to slow times. So, you know, people come out when you're taking the money out of their pocket.
Right. Now that guy's a governor, right? That guy's a governor, right? The hotel guy.
I don't know. I have no clue.
He's governor of Illinois now. That was his family who owned a lot of those hotels. So.
Oh, that everyone was protesting against?
Yeah, and we made him governor. So that's what we do here in Illinois. I mean, obviously, like you said, you know, the best protest is not to show up for games, and we know people aren't going to.
Yeah.
So, you know, because if you don't want your tickets, somebody else does. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, kind of how it goes. So, yeah, I don't think this will have any effect, and, you know, nobody's going to care, but, you know, hey, okay, you know, you protested. Yay. You know, let's see what goes on, but I'm not buying it. He doesn't come back on Monday. Donald comes in with his following earlier. Also, a quick side note, we won't be here Sunday because the other is to go in and listen to his wife and let him do a podcast on Monday. So you can talk to him one more. But I'm going to say, Dan and I leave him. Get over to sportsradio.com, check out the time in there. Please look into the Facebook page and set a like. But please look into the Twitter page and at sportsradio. Of course, you can help Dan and I down on Twitter if you'd like that. Always live. Remember, if you missed any of the podcasts, all you gotta do is go to tunein.com and you just pick them all up right there.
Roll out, roll out, roll out.
Time Radio.